Hey, it's Kim Commando Today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to commando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it.
Do you ever shop on Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah, I buy and sell.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What are you selling?
Right now, I'm selling dog stuff, like a doggy door and a dog kennel and dog gates.
Why?
Because I got rid of my dogs.
Why? You love your dogs.
I do love my dogs, but I'm never home.
Oh.
And they're sitting in a kennel all day.
Oh.
And it's just not cool.
That's not good.
So we made the hard decision, and we found a new home.
Oh, good.
And now I'm trying to sell all their crap.
And then what are you buying?
Usually sports cards. Yeah. Buying things to resell. I like to flip stuff.
Have you ever thought about like trying to sell yourself on Facebook?
Not one time. Not for one second.
Okay.
Are we talking prostitution?
No. Michael, he's a 33-year-old single software engineer in New York City.
All right.
So he got so tired of the whole online dating scene.
Right.
That he decided that he was going to put himself up on Facebook Marketplace. And he took out ads, he calls it Date Michael. And here, we have a picture of what the guy looks like.
All right. Okay. He looks like a dude.
You know what? And he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
He is. And then with the ad leads to a Google form.
I'm going
to
try that pose. Is that flattering?
Yes.
Good. Go ahead. Continue.
It makes you look like you're contemplative.
I am. I'm thinking about the world constantly.
Either that or you're having a bowel movement.
Constantly.
He describes himself as kind, happy, curious, creative, and a major nerd. Okay. And he says that his aunt says that he's quite a catch.
Sure. Okay. Did he get responses?
Yes. He's getting a lot of responses. And he says, like, his perfect day is going to the city island. He likes to go to off-Broadway plays.
Oh, not Broadway. He's not mainstream.
No.
He only goes off-Broadway.
Exactly.
He sees it before everyone else does.
So my friend Jason,
mm-hmm.
He's single. And he actually told me that when he's, like, trying to check somebody out or trying to, like, find somebody, he goes on Facebook Marketplace, and then he searches for wedding dresses. And then he sorts by size because then he can figure out these women are getting divorced. And so they're selling their wedding dresses.
Are you serious?
People tell me everything. It's just so bizarre.
But the odds that you're actually going to find the person you're talking to hawking their dress on Facebook Marketplace.
I don't know. It's like, you know, desperate times.
Did he put a price tag on himself?
No.
In Facebook Marketplace?
No.
It was free?
Yes.
Just got to allow him to take him out?
That's it.
That's a good strategy. Thinking outside the box.
You know, this is, of course, Kim Commando Today.
Oh, it is.
Yes, I'm Kim Commando.
Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
And you are?
Andrew Babinski.
Yes, and so we talk about all things digital in mm-hmm. a lighthearted way. You know, some people said, I noticed like we were getting a couple of comments. People were saying like, you know, they wanted more like hardcore tech stuff.
Right.
You know, like we should be talking about like engineering things. And photo, whatever they want to talk about.
Like when you were in Japan, we got a question about quantum computing.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you answer it?
Sure did.
What'd you say?
I said it's better than triple computing because it's quant. It's the best you're going to get.
It's quant?
I guess quad. I don't know.
Well, what do you have coming up?
We have a story where they're finally using the Apple Vision Pro in a good way.
Nice.
It's really amazing.
Nice.
How they're using it.
Well, come on, guys.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. Make sure you like, follow, and share. That's what someone messaged me. They're like, you're not doing it right. You're supposed to say like, follow, and share.
Oh, is
but
that
we
it?
Want the comments, so I have to mix in the comments to there.
Yeah. Well, you could do that. Like, follow, share, comment.
Yeah, because at the end of the show, Maddie's upstairs getting all the comments together, and we'll read the best ones. We'll answer any questions. Even if, I mean, Kim's back, so they can be hardcore tech if you want. She can go there.
I can. But, you know, that's a scary part about it. It really is. You know, it's like, because everybody around me, they always have like something wrong. I mean, like I go to a party
mm-hmm.
or somebody comes over their house, like, hey, can you like look at this?
Sure.
And I'm like, you know, you're a doctor. Do I say look at the rash on my butt?
Do you though? If you had a butt rash, would I you do. Be showing the doctor?
No, I wouldn't.
No?
No. Well,
that's so kind because I definitely, if I knew a doctor and I could get free butt rash advice, I would do it.
Be right there. All right. Here are the top five things you need to know about tech. Happening this very moment. A lot of people are going online and they're pretending to be Elon Musk.
Why?
Because they're trying to scam people.
Oh, that makes sense.
And like they're saying, like one guy gave $1,500 in Apple gift cards to Elon Musk. Wait for it. Because Elon said that he needed some money to finish a new prototype.
No. Okay. I feel bad for these people, but how can you be this dumb? A, Elon Musk is not going to reach out to you. He's a billionaire. He doesn't care about you.
Okay.
B, he's not going to ask for payment in Apple gift cards.
No.
The Teslas are not built on Apple gift cards.
Or another one was that he needed some money to do some crypto investing. Okay.
So you got to get Google Play gift cards, Target yes. gift cards.
Or he needed money for you to attend the next Cybertruck event.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that one's legit. No, he doesn't care about you. He will not be reaching out on Facebook.
He doesn't know. And he doesn't want it. You know, he doesn't need your money.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't want anything to do with you.
Well, I mean, he might need your money. He's trying to buy ChatGPT.
Well.
He may need. You think that you could buy ChatGPT with Target gift cards?
Go over to Sam Altman. Okay, so here's what I got. I've got some Apple.
I got 30 billion in Applebee's gift cards. I mean, that is a lot of baby back ribs.
I'll never forget this gal, and she worked for me for a nanosecond, you know, and she was my assistant. Maybe that's why I don't have an assistant anymore. But anyway.
Yeah, you've had some bad luck.
I have had bad luck. One stole a watch from me, you know, another one. I like the one that I asked her to return a dress to a store.
Right.
And then I'm like, where's the receipt? And she's like, well, she said, I took it to another store and you returned it there. I said, but I still need the receipt. And she's like, no, but then I took it to she just stole it. You know,
is this either one of the ones that was like having all her friends work here and then like coming up with fake sales so that people could make fake commissions?
No, that was another one.
That was another one. Okay.
That was another one. But this one I'm thinking of is that her husband went on eBay and he bought a truck, and she came into my office and she said, do you want like $4,000 worth of Apple gift cards? Would you buy them from me? I'm like, no.
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 Could you just solve all my problems, please? So he paid for the truck in Apple gift cards?
He was going to, and then he got ripped off. She like intercepted him.
Who knew Elon Musk was selling a truck online for $4,000 in Apple gift cards?
So the Pentagon has this UFO unit called the AARO.
The AARP?
No.
This is older aliens that yes. we're talking to?
They say that they have not found any evidence.
Right.
None. Nada. Of any aliens, technology in the skies, the space, or the desert.
We just had a guest on that has found some alien metals.
Okay, but he's
Did
the same
talk
guy.
To him?
No, here's the same guy who couldn't find the Malaysian plane at the bottom of the ocean. Okay. I mean, just saying that. So now the Pentagon says, like, we are not having ET, no phoning home, nothing. Do you think they're covering up?
The government cover something up? Nah, that doesn't happen.
Okay, this is really serious. Elf Bar, they're called Elf Bar Vaping.
Okay, vapes. Yeah.
Okay. They're from China.
Right.
Which they all are. A home camera caught this vape turning into a fireworks show.
Saw this with a baby right there.
Oh my gosh, right?
So the mom, she is in the other room and you can hear her in the background. It's like she's dealing with another child and the baby's sitting in like a high chair or a bouncer
yes,
or something.
Yes, like, yeah, bouncy.
And then all of a sudden just boom, this thing explodes feet away from the child. She comes running in trying to figure out what's going on, picks up the baby. Obviously, the baby is distraught because an explosion just happened, but it was just sitting on the countertop doing nothing. Wasn't even being used.
Right.
That's crazy.
So, you know, keep your vapes, I don't know.
In a safe?
Yeah. Outside?
Get one of those suits that the bomb people get and just carry it around with that.
Or don't vape. It's bad for you.
That's a possibility too.
All right, so we talked about Kate Middleton's photo.
Yesterday, yes.
Yesterday, and then they released the real photo.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people saying that now her photo in that picture is from a 2016 photo shoot in Vanity Fair.
That she was edited in.
That she put
totally.
Her face in.
Not just these little tweaks of Photoshop.
No. Mm-mm. No, that this was like, maybe she actually took a photo from mm-hmm. someplace else. And then Meghan Markle's out saying, like, I would never do that.
Of course not, never.
She said, because I'm, like, so into my details.
So we're thinking now it's more serious because it's more of a Photoshop job than we thought?
You know, I don't know. I watched the video of this guy saying like this was the Vanity Fair cover, mm-hmm. and he was trying to say how it matched up, and I was like not really sure how that matched up.
I also saw someone online that used this software where it like twists the photo almost.
I didn't see that.
And when you twist it, like all of the edits and Photoshops become way more apparent with this software twisting it, and he twisted it, and you saw the wrist, and you saw the bricks and the leaves, but I didn't see her face pop off the screen when he did it.
You know, I really have no trouble that she Photoshopped it.
Unless they're covering something up. Her plastic surgery? Why would one need to replace one's face in one's photo if you went in for routine?
She doesn't need.
Just saying.
She's beautiful.
I'm just saying. She might have a perfect nose now.
Okay, so we don't really have them here in Arizona, but you know, where you drive into a toll booth.
No, we don't, which is weird.
Yes, we don't have those here. But you know, you've been through those.
Oh, yeah,
you drive
absolutely.
Through a toll booth, and then like there's one in Orange County. It's the 55.
Okay.
And routinely, because my sister lives very close to that, is that either Barry or I will just go blow through.
Okay.
Because it's like, how did we get on this toll road anyway?
And you don't have one of those like fast passes or
we
anything?
We don't have one of those easy passes okay. or anything like that. And so then we're going to get like a ticket for, mm-hmm. I don't know, $95 or something.
Well, because
like
you have to pay the toll. Then you have to pay the processing fee for sending you the toll. And then the penalty for how dare you not paying the toll like everyone else pays
I know,
the toll.
But I was like, I'm new. I didn't know.
Sure. Okay. And there's no signs that say toll ahead.
Okay, what's happening now, the Wall Street Journal had a really interesting story about this, is that cities are losing millions and millions of dollars on these easy pass, high-tech toll booths.
Why? How are they losing money?
Because people are buying something called the Stealth Plate Flipper. Okay, it allows you to flip your license plate 180 degrees James Bond style. So basically, what it does is you've got, like, it looks like a license plate holder.
Right.
And for $200 is that you can hit a button inside your car and it goes, covers
no
up the license
way.
Plate.
And then you hit it and pops right back?
Yeah.
That's devious. Good on them. Because, you know, before with
it's
all
illegal,
the cameras.
By the way.
Well, yeah, of course it's illegal. Okay. But remember with all the cameras everywhere, people were buying those like screen protectors almost
yes.
that they put over their plates so the camera couldn't make out the
well,
entire plate.
We still
plate.
Have those here in Arizona. I follow people all the time that have those things.
I just use the old fashioned way of getting by those.
What?
I cover my face with my hand.
Then you can't see.
Yeah. Well, no, I got a V shape. I separate my two middle fingers. Perfect eye hole. I can safely drive and not be identified.
Okay.
This is what I do.
Really?
And I'm not joking.
Oh, okay. What I do is I actually strike a pose.
Well, we're in a little bit different to economic levels, so you can afford to have a pretty picture in the ticket that you have to pay.
No, it's not that. It's the Paradise Valley. I got nailed this morning in Paradise Valley.
By a camera?
I'm sure I did.
Did you see the flash?
Because it was yellow. I swear it was yellow when I was going through.
Sure. Tell it to the judge, sister.
Okay. And then I was like, following a garbage truck.
It's all the garbage truck's fault so far.
Okay.
Two things, not your fault at all.
Okay. And he was going a little slow.
Sure.
Through the intersection, but it was yellow. So I thought for sure if the garbage truck just sped up just a little tiny bit.
That's it. You got to sue waste management. It's all their fault.
Okay. That would be it. So I did. I did go in.
A stroke. How many tickets have you gotten? I get none. This works every time. Every single time.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay them. In Paradise Valley.
You don't have to pay them.
No, you don't. Not in Paradise Valley.
You don't have to pay the tickets?
No.
Then why do they have them?
That's why I strike a pose all the time.
Because you don't have to pay it?
No.
Have you ever thought, and this is a possibility, paying them in Apple gift cards?
I'll go down to the Paradise Valley Police Department.
Take care of it.
Which, have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I'm sure
it's just beautiful.
It's the most posh place for criminals.
It really is. And right next door, they have this fire department. And every time I go in there, not that I go there a lot, is that I sit there and I'm thinking, like, this is like the greatest place to be a fireman. I mean, it's like, it looks like the Ritz-Carlton there.
I don't mind getting arrested in Paradise Valley. I love the caviar they serve.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So we're going to be talking to Clippy.
We're actually going to talk to Clippy? Like Microsoft Clippy?
Well, not the Clippy.
Oh.
We're going to talk to the the guy, the engineer, the brilliance, the guy who just like dreamt this up and changed the world.
It's interesting that you would use the word brilliance because most people hate him.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today. It's your Daily Fun podcast about all things digital. If you're watching the show, we love that. Make sure that you give us a comment wherever you're watching. I mean, we're on what? Facebook, Rumble, X, Twitter. That's the same thing. We're also YouTube. Oh, yeah. YouTube's the big one.
You've heard of this little website called YouTube.
Sorry about that. I'm still have a little jet lag. And because I guess I was on planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah, and you got sick. You got went and got up and got yourself sick.
I got a little something, something here.
All right. We'll carry you through. We'll do this as a team.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm going to be silent. Okay. Make you do all the work.
That's I love that about you. You know, it's just people always say like, you know, you guys, you know, you really are a great team all the time.
All the time.
Okay. All right. So there's Clippy. Do you remember Clippy?
Of course.
He was the office assistant introduced in Office 97.
I remember my first time seeing Clippy. We were using the, you know, Word office documents, and it pops up. You're like, oh, that thing's kind of helpful. Okay.
Kind of bounced in there.
I could do that. And then he pops up again, and then he pops up again, and then he pops up again. And then you're screaming at your computer because you want this stupid thing to go away.
Did you just use the word stupid?
Stupid. Clippy's stupid.
I don't know. Can't believe you said that because we have the guy who invented it.
You don't think he thinks after all these years, Clippy's stupid? That'll be my first question.
Well, joining us is Kevin Atberry, the designer behind
Clippy. Oh, there's Clippy.
Yes, the designer behind Clippy. And you had to go through, what, 260 designs for Clippy? Is that what I heard?
Yes, 240, 260, something like that.
And so Andrew had a question. You want to start with that question?
Yeah, just really quick. And this is like a broad question. At this point in your life, do you think Clippy's stupid?
I don't think he's stupid. I think he's just Clippy. He's not bright enough to be stupid.
That's fair.
Okay. So how did this come down? I mean, somebody at Microsoft and the whole development team said, you know, this is brand new. We need to help people use the software better, easier. And so what if we could have like an intuitive tool that could be right there on the user screen that would be accessible 24/7 and that would just help them out?
Well, it actually started with a piece of software called Microsoft Bob. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, God, that was a loser.
That was the biggest crash I can ever even think of with Microsoft. We had designed these desktops, animated desktops, for people that were just learning to use the computer, and we designed characters and different environments and stuff like that. It was just a big graphic interface that they're trying to run on, you know, like 4 megabytes of memory or 8. They eventually brought it up to 8 megabytes of memory.
Yes.
Big and time. Then it's so, yes. Yeah, so, and they did this huge push at CSE and, you know, just spent a lot of money. And they had this grand unveiling like they do. And, you know, immediately started getting just horrible reviews, and it crashed and it just was not stable and stuff. But, and so they, you know, they you know, trashed the software eventually. Probably less than a year. And, but they liked the technology of the little characters that would come out and help, you know, new computer users, you know, use a computer. And, somebody said, let's take that over to Office. And, and they did. And so we started designing characters and for, you know, weeks and months, and had about, like I said, about 200, I can't remember exactly how many there were, but there was like maybe 20 designers, including myself, designing characters. And then we had a couple of professors from Stanford. That was what they did. They came and they tested the characters with people and looking for the ones that you know, were the most likable, the most trustworthy, the least offensive, you know, just, and that were smart, and, you know, eventually narrowed it down to 10. And Clippy rose to the top as, you know, the favorite character.
Did any of the other 10, the other 9, did they make it into Microsoft software at any point?
I think they used the dog for a little bit.
Yeah, they did use the dog. I remember the dog.
Okay.
Just when I said that. Remember in what capacity.
Took a dump.
Any of the other characters.
The 10 characters that we were competing against.
I only remember Clippy. I don't remember any of the other ones.
You know, well, Clippy was the default, so most people never probably changed them. I mean, I used a Mac, so I never really experienced
them. That's blasphemy.
I mean, I designed them on a Mac.
That's hilarious.
So, I mean, I never got to experience the annoying qualities and activities that he did. It was, I just heard about it and read about it. And I was mortified that I created it.
Well, you know, the thing about Clippy is, like, you'd be sitting there and you'd be just riding along.
Working.
Right.
Doing your thing.
And then this stupid little thing would
she
come out.
Stupid too. Okay,
and then it would be like, oh, it looks like you're writing a letter. I'm like, no crap, Sherlock. Okay.
I'm on paragraph 5.
Okay. You know what I wanted? You know what I always wanted Clippy to do? I wanted Clippy to sit there to bounce out and then say, this looks like the biggest pile of BS you've ever written in your entire life.
Do you want me to delete this?
Yes, exactly.
I just want to be clear here, and I share this every time I'm interviewed or anything, is that I created Clippy. I did not create the functionality.
Okay. Just the art behind Clippy.
Yes. I created the character.
Now, I saw a TikTok video, and it would be nice if you could confirm or deny this. That with the engineers and the mucky mucks inside of Microsoft, Clippy had a different name that went by initials TFC.
Right.
T standing for that, C standing for clown, and F, just pick an F word you want to go ahead and place there. Is that
fearless.
True?
That fearless clown.
Fearless. That fearless clown.
There is. I may be wrong on this, but I think that nickname came from the very top.
Ooh,
really?
I think Bill may have come up with that. It seems to me. I recollect that, and then everybody else, adopted it.
Followed suit. I mean, yeah. When
I could
Bill
see
Gates
how he was
coming
that.
Up with everybody's like, yeah, you're right. He is a clown. Bill's right. He is a clown.
Yeah.
You know what? Did you work with Bill Gates?
No, I didn't. Although I met him a few times because Microsoft Bob was Melinda French's project. And then actually about three weeks after I started contracting her, she became Melinda Gates. There were some different people, but I think that was still under her guise.
Yeah, I interviewed Bill Gates once.
And?
I did. And I was really excited about it.
Well, sure, it's Bill Gates.
I know. And I thought, like, this is like, oh, this is going to be great. And I was telling my mom and dad, I'm going to interview Bill Gates. And then my mother's like, you know, he's single, because he was single then. You know, he's single. And so I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, not really sure about that, Mom. But, you know, I'm really excited to interview him. So, and this was like before he had a lot of media training. And so I was asking him questions like, So, like, where do you think Microsoft is headed? He'd be like, big.
Well, that's a great answer.
I mean, it was like one-word answers.
But to be fair, he wasn't wrong.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And so I get done with the entire interview. And it was hard because he was only giving, like, single-word answers. And I called my mom on the way home. And I said, oh, yeah. I said it was kind of like a weird interview because he didn't give me a lot to run with. My mother's like... And she was like from New York. So, but what'd you think? What'd you think?
She still was trying to hook you up with
she's
Bill
like,
Gates.
She's like, so what'd you think? And I said, you know, Mom, he's, you know, I told her, so, you know, he's not really my type. He's really a nerd and he's, you know, and he's got like nerd tendencies and he's not a really great communicator. And I don't, you know, so I don't really see us do that. And she says, you know, Kim, with that kind of money, we can fix everything.
That's true. You'd rather date Clippy.
Yes, exactly.
Now, did Clippy open any doors for you professionally?
Yes. I got paid, you know, pretty good for the, you know, creating them and stuff. But the real value was how many doors he opened for me. I mean, but it took a long time. It took me, I would not say that I created them at the start. I was,
yeah, everybody hated him.
Everybody hated him. And
stepchild,
I was embarrassed of it. And, you know, every time you saw it in the press everywhere, you know, people talking about how much they hate him, what an annoyance he was and stuff like that. So I didn't put him in my portfolio at all when I was, you know,
wow,
work. Yeah. Once I realized that, you know, all press is good press, I, you know, I started saying, you know, yeah, I created them. People say, you know, I hate that paperclip. He drives me crazy. And they go, oh, Clippy, I created him. And they go, oh, that's so cool.
See, I think that's, you know, cool. I do. I mean, you know, if we were just met at a party, I'd be like, that is awesome. You know, and I would be like dragging you all around. Like, this is my new friend.
Who has been the Clippy guy. Check out the Clippy guy.
That's not unusual. I mean, they don't drag me around all night, but, you know, they make a big deal out of it when they find out.
And so, what have you had any other successes like Clippy?
Oh, no, nothing compares to Clippy. Clippy's world renowned. I mean, and now that he's not in the software, people love him. I mean, he's this, you know, this really kind of fun meme or whatever. And he's, you know, on all these TV shows, and you know, it's usually as a butt of a joke, but you know, people love Clippy now. People, nobody hates him like they did.
No, it's nostalgia. It absolutely is.
It is
comfort food for the internet.
It is,
and computing.
Yeah. I get things every day. People send me from around the country, around the world, of you know, where Clippy's been used as some kind of gag.
Well, but you know what? Like you said, any press is good press.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Kevin, absolutely. Thanks for being here, telling us the story about Clippy.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Clippy.
I hated Clippy.
So did I.
I mean, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
You think at some point Microsoft will go, you know what, we need to rein back Clippy. Or have this big, like, Clippy off button in the upper right-hand corner of the screen.
The thing would just come popping out in the middle.
Always. Nonstop. Like,
stop it already. Stop.
You already told me 64 times how to save a file. I got it, Clippy.
Hey, it's Kim Komando today. It's your daily fun podcast about all things digital. Do us a huge favor. Make sure that you like,
comment,
share,
follow.
Yes. See? Teamwork makes the dream work.
Absolutely. We're collecting all of your comments. We're getting the best ones. We're going to read them in the final segment of the show. Answer questions, chime in, talk about how much you hated Clippy, where all the best comments will be read.
All right. So Apple's Vision Pro.
Yes. Apple Vision Pro has been used in the operating room for the first time in a back surgery. Now, I read the headline. I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's a doctor there sitting there wearing this thing. I mean, because we've all seen the people in coffee shops look like an idiot poking at the air. And then everybody at home posting videos of themselves looking like an idiot poking at the air. But it's actually not the doctor that's wearing it. It's the nurse. And they're using this software called XX that has been used in the operating room before, thousands of times, actually. But this is the first time that it was applied with the Apple Vision Pro. And what it does is the nurse has all the tools set up for the surgery. The doctor will call out what tool he wants, or she. And the example, this in this story at this university where it was happening, it was a male doctor. But he will call out the tool that he needs, and the Vision Pro will hear it and highlight the correct instrument
That
needs
great.
To be new. Now, they interviewed the nurse, and the nurse is like, this is a game changer. This is unbelievable. It takes all human error out of the equation because I know what tool he's calling for, but I could grab. I mean, we've been, you know, an 18-hour surgery. Sometimes you're going to make mistakes because you're a person. But when it's lit up and highlighted, you know exactly what to give the doctor to complete the surgery, and it was a success.
That's awesome.
It's really cool. It's a great way to apply this technology better than, you know, sitting there playing Pong while you're sitting at the coffee shop annoying everybody else.
Did you see the video of the young couple who just got married?
Okay.
And he wore the Apple Vision Pro the entire time. Okay. I mean, the entire time. she had no idea that this was going to happen.
That's not good.
Okay. So, I mean, so she, you know, she walks up the aisle and he's standing there
with
the Vision Pro. Okay. Okay. They say their vows. Mm-hmm. He still has it on.
Okay.
They leave the church, you know, kiss, whatever. He has it on. They go to the reception.
Still has it on.
Photos. Has it on. The cake.
Honeymoon?
The last dance. I mean, everything he has it on. And she was upset about that.
Sure, I would be too.
Okay, but this is okay. This marriage is not going to last.
No. Well, if you're not going to talk about this prior to the wedding.
Okay, that, but also, she wasn't able to look at him and say, dude.
Take it off.
Take it off.
At some point.
Yes.
This is a worse faux pas than when I had my phone turned on inside of my suit and you called me during my wedding.
I don't know anything about that.
This is way worse.
I don't know anything about that.
You've admitted this multiple times over the years. Just because there's cameras on now, don't try and play coy with me, Commando.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's what happened. Okay, is sometimes I have a lack of judgment. Okay?
Much like this groom.
So we were, you know, you were getting married, mm-hmm. and you were all excited.
Of course.
And of course, you know, you're getting married in that beautiful Scottsdale resort. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Barry and I were mm-hmm. there, and we had like our own little like radio clan that
you
was
did.
Sitting on your side.
Whoever put all the radio people together, it was a huge mistake.
It was, because we're all talking, like having a great old time.
Right.
Like,
you're there for free food and drinks. You don't care about the bliss of a couple being married.
No, it doesn't matter. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I bet he has his phone on. And Barry's like, no, he doesn't have his phone on. I'm like, but she does.
Call him.
And so Barry says, call him. So I call you. Hey, you're up there doing your vows.
That was awful. It felt so bad. I wanted to have it on me in case of an emergency.
At least you didn't answer.
I thought I'd have friends that wouldn't call.
That was so funny.
It was
though.
Good. It was a great story.
It was. That was a fun one. All right, so it's Kim Commando today. We need you to share it. Just once.
It's easy.
One time.
It's not hard.
And so if you people would start doing it, then we can stop hounding you.
You people. I don't know if that's the best approach to winning over the audience by referring to them as you people.
Well, because I just want them to do it.
I apologize. It makes clear sense now.
Okay.
Thank you for watching Kim Commando today. And if you could, simply share the podcast to your loved ones and your friends so they can see how much you enjoy it and they can enjoy it as well. And if you don't, you people are going to have to hear about it from her.
Lou writes, check out what ChatGPT says when asked, what is best about Kim Commando's podcast? It's a very good answer.
What did ChatGPT say?
I don't know what the answer is. It doesn't give me the answer.
That's the worst comment ever. What a cliffhanger.
Trip Farmer says, KK, Clippy is in an episode of The Office.
And Family Guy and The Simpsons.
Jim says, I needed a barber to Clippy my hair. Cram Nella says he liked Clippy. It was a cute dude. Oh, Ken.
What?
Ken.
What?
Ken showed up at 1:30 Eastern time and there was no show. Then he remembered the time change.
Oh.
So did 7H3D34. Can you people have a better name?
It's not our fault. It's our state's fault. Arizona doesn't move their clocks.
Says, I missed your podcast yesterday. I was looking forward to the normal time. Stupid time change. Mary Naomi Bainan. Mary, thank you so much.
What did she say?
She says, I find this podcast interesting and informative.
So do I.
For me, Kim, you have given some very useful tricks and functions in many areas with tech. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. P.S. I don't really care for Andrew.
That's fair. She didn't say that.
She didn't.
And I'll confirm it. I will look at every site to make sure she didn't say that in the comments.
So I was thinking like what I could close with today.
Sure.
That would be super interesting. So I thought we would talk about me.
Wow. How'd you ever reach that point? It's interesting. It is super interesting. What about you, Kim?
I was thinking about how when I went to Japan, mm-hmm. it was probably the first country out of the 31 that I've been where I really couldn't figure out the language. I mean, where okay. I couldn't look at a board and I'd look at some letters and I could figure out, well, that must be the men's room or the ladies' room.
Like context clues.
Yes. Okay.
Gotcha.
And it's also an interesting country because, like here in the United States, we do everything in English and then Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you go to Paris, for example, and if you're at the train station, they're going to put everything out in French and then they're going to say in English.
Communities in Canada, they will have a French and English as well.
Exactly. Okay. Not in Japan. I mean, you're at the train station, everything is in Japanese. Okay. Nobody says anything in English. So you're looking there going like, okay.
And like the workers, people working there, they're not have any English at all.
They wear like a little button that says English.
Oh, okay.
But it's not really that good English. And so we were at the train station in order to get to Hiroshima. Okay. We say Hiroshima.
Yes.
It's not the proper. It's Hiroshima.
Okay.
Because I learned that. Okay.
Did you learn it with a stern look and a correction on how to pronounce it?
And so we are on like the Hikura train 501
mm-hmm.
Going to from Kyoto to Hiroshima. And I see everybody's like getting into this long line. And I actually hired somebody to help us get through the train station.
Okay.
Because I tried to do it once by ourselves.
But didn't you ever think like Google Translate?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So the train, there was a train accident with the bullet train. Obviously redundant. There was a bullet train accident. And so our train was delayed. And so I was trying to figure out how long it was delayed. And so my guide knew this much English.
Okay.
Okay.
But it sounds like it's better than most when it comes to people
yes,
in Japan.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, they do speak English, but not very well.
Okay.
But also when you get into Kyoto and you're not inside Tokyo, it's fewer people that actually speak English.
Okay.
So I pull out Google Translate and say, you know, our train was supposed to leave at 10. Is it going to leave at 10:30, 11, 11:30? What do you think we should do? And so I say all that in English and then it translates immediately into Japanese. And then he looks at it and he starts speaking Japanese to me, but Google could not keep up.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it wasn't good. So you know, we write and we talk about these things. And so I spent a week with Google Translate.
Okay.
Okay. And it's really good if you can just not do that conversation button, because it's supposed to do a real-time conversation.
Right.
Okay. So you're better off just going like, say everything that you need in English. Okay. And then it translates it into whatever language that you want. And it translates into, I don't know, 150 different languages. And then just show the person your phone.
Okay.
Okay. And then clear it.
And wait, tell them to wait.
Change it from Japanese to English and then have them speak. And then you look at it. I mean, but it is really wonderful that you're able to do this. But I just think it has a long way to go before it's this real time conversation.
Did you do the sign feature?
Yes.
And did that work properly?
Yes. Except for
if you don't know what we're talking yes. about, you can use your camera to point at a sign. Like, let's say this was all in Japanese and you pointed at this screen and it would translate it. And it's supposed to use like the same fonts, right?
Well, not in Japanese, because the font is
okay,
like,
that's fair.
Kind of crazy. But the translations, whenever I would get the translations from something that was in Japanese to English, it was very like the way to the right is around the corner, mm-hmm. And I'm like,
it's just not phrased the way we phrase it in English.
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. But I will tell you though, if you're ever traveling and you do need instant translations for a sign, a restaurant menu, whatever it may be, is that Google Translate, it does work, but it's not quite 1,000% there yet.
It's not supercomputer yet.
No.
Because the commercials, they show that they're standing there with their phone and everybody's just yapping away and it's translating in real time. Not in your experience.
No, not in my experience.
Okay.
All. You know, and so, you know, especially like when you are trying to like translate into other languages too.
Like what?
Like, you know, like maybe if it's Gaelic, And that's a difficult language too.
Sure.
And you're trying to translate things about, maybe it's a joke about like an Irishman that walks out of a bar.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke.
Because that's never happened. That's what you're trying
exactly,
to say?
Yes.
Okay. We should translate this to the end of the podcast.
You know, but one more thing about Ireland. Is that
Ireland?
Okay. We just went. Now, when we were in Ireland, this is a funny story. Okay. I don't know if Barry ever told you this story. But, you know, I always like to go into like the backwoods of wherever we are, you know. And so we are like in this pub. I don't know, somewhere in County Cork. And I mean, like, we are like the only Americans that.
Are you standing out? Like,
yes.
It's obvious
it's
you're
obvious,
tourists?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Obvious that we're tourists. And so Barry has to go to the restroom. And he comes back in and he's laughing hysterical. And I said, what? And he says, well, he said, the men's room outside the pub is a wall.
Just pee on the wall?
It's a wall. That's all it is. Just a just concrete blocks. And you stand there outside and you just pee on the wall and it goes down.
Okay.
Okay. And so he said, he's standing there doing his thing. And this big Irishman comes over to him and he starts peeing. And looks at Barry and says, and then slaps him on the back.
Okay. Nice pee conversation. Okay.
And Barry looks at him like, I don't know what the hell you're saying.
Top of the morning to you.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.